الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فلا وربك لا يؤمنون حتى يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم ثم لا يجدوا في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت ويسلموا تسليما صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خيرت بين أن يدخل نصف أمة الجنة وبين الشفاعة فاخترت الشفاعة لأنها أعم أترونها للمتقين لا ولكنها للمذنبين الخطائين أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected علماء الكرام, elders and beloved brothers in Islam, the Muslim Ummah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم throughout the entire world is passing through a very difficult and very trying phase in the annals of its history. Almost every day we are being bombarded from every direction with mention of the atrocities and the hardships and the trials and the tribulations that are being meted out against the masses of this ummah. If one looks into the Quran and Hadith, one apparent fact becomes absolutely clear that hardships and difficulties and trials and tribulations are synonymous with the very existence of this ummah. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, Alif Lam Mim, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسِ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ That what do the people think? That they will say آمَنَّا, that they will recite this kalima, لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله, that they will declare that they are followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ, and that they will not be tested, they will not become the targets of difficulty and hardship and trials and tribulations. وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ Allah says, no, definitely we have tested the nations of the past. They also became the targets of difficulties and hardships. And you also will be tested. Even a cursory glance at the annals of the history of this ummah will bring to light this apparent fact of the manner in which hundreds and thousands of this ummah in the past were slaughtered. One famous episode, that of the Tatari invasion, where the rivers of Baghdad flowed with the blood of this ummah, where in one day 150,000, 200,000 reciters of Kalima were slaughtered. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ We have tested the people of the past and you also will be tested. فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ And what is the motivation? What is the objective behind these trials and tribulations? You have said Amanna. You have recited this kalima. Ulama explained that kalima is not verbal lip service. یہ کلمہ توحید اپنے مرضی کے سلب ہونے کا اقرار ہے. They say when لا الہ الا اللہ محمد رسول اللہ is recited, what does it entail? That from this day onwards, till my last breath in this world, what my eyes see, and what my ears hear, and what my heart and mind and informs me, or what society and the media and the propaganda around me is trying to indoctrinate within me, I am prepared to negate all those things, and I have handed myself over to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this declaration, فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Through these hardships, through these difficulties, through the persecution that will be meted out against this ummah, Allah says, Allah will come to know. This is expression of Quran. Allah in His ilm azali, in His eternal knowledge, already knows. Allah is that Zat, and Allah is that being who is not affected by the constraints of space and time. There is no past tense, present tense, and future tense with Allah. Everything at all time is one in front of Allah. Time is the creation of Allah. Allah's knowledge is supreme, it envelops everything. Yet Allah says, فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah will come to know who are the truthful ones, and who are kadhibin, who are the liars. Not that Allah will come to know, Allah already knows. But what is meant is that Allah will make apparent so that the whole mankind comes to know. It becomes absolutely clear who are the true followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and who are those, and who are those who are giving lip service to this. Understand, my respected brothers, this verse of the Quran does not refer to the kuffar. This verse of the Quran, Allah is saying, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسِ أَيُّتْرَكُوا أَيَّقُولُوا آمَنَّا. This verse of the Quran refers to the mu'mineen, the believers. Allah says, we will make apparent amongst the believers who are the liars. And what is the room, and what is the margin for error that is allowed? To what extent is your logic allowed, or what your eyes are seeing, or what your ears are hearing, or what society is telling you? To what extent are you allowed to move in that direction, away from the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Beautifully, Quran addresses this question, where Allah Ta'ala says, "Fala wa rabbik, fala wa rabbik, la yu'minun." Really, my respected brothers, it is impossible, wallah, it is impossible to do justice to explaining the vehemence that is adopted in this expression of the Quran, where Allah says, Fala wa Rabbik. It cannot be translated. But just for our understanding, Allah is that being, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. There is no one more truthful than Allah. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. Allah doesn't need to take any oath. In other places in the Quran, Allah takes oaths. This is rahmat and mercy for us, that Allah Ta'ala stresses what He is saying. In other places in the Quran, Allah took oath on the rising sun, on the enveloping darkness, on day, on night, on time, on figs, on olives. In this verse of the Quran, where Allah Ta'ala is declaring to humanity right up till Qiyamah, that how much am I allowing you to move away from the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? How much am I allowing you to bring your own logic and your own understanding and your own interpretation to the way of life of that beautiful model and example that I have given you till Qiyamah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah says, "Fala wa Rabbik." Here Allah doesn't take oath on the rising sun or the enveloping darkness. Here Allah takes oath on Himself. And Allah says, by my qasam, by the qasam of your Rabb, until in every affair, whether it is your dressing, whether it is the conduct with your wives and your children, whether it is their upbringing, whether it is your business, whether it is your day, whether it is your night, whether it is your walking, whether it is your talking, whether it is your eating, whether it is your drinking, whether it is your social interaction or your financial interaction, until you do not make the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the decider in every affair, in the camel age, in the space age, in every era, in every century, right up till Qiyamah, no matter what society is saying to you, until my Nabi does not become the decider, until his teachings is not your motivating factor in every affair, by the qasam of your Rabb, by my qasam, la yu'minun, you do not have iman. Your iman can never be complete. وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَن يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. That when Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have decided in a particular affair, Quran declares, if you are mu'min, if you have said amanna, and you are sadiq in this, you are truthful in this, then your own logic or understanding can never ever come into the equation. We have in front of us that Nabi on Mi'raj, when he stood in front of Allah, فَكَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنِ يُؤَدْنَى. That martaba and that status, he transcended beyond. No other creation of Allah had gone. Right in front of Allah, at that time, he addresses Allah, that اتَّخَذْتَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Oh my Allah, you made Ibrahim alayhi salam your Khalil. وَكَلَّمْتَ لِمُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. You spoke directly to Musa alayhi salam. وَأَحْيَيْتَ لِعِيسَى الْمَوْتَى. Oh my Allah, you brought the dead to life for Isa alayhi salam. أَلَنْتَ لِدَاوُدَ الْحَدِيدِ. You softened lead for Dawood alayhi salam. Oh my Allah, what have you kept for me? Allah Ta'ala addresses him. Lengthy hadith. Not my intention to go into the whole detail of it. One section of it. أَلَّا ذُكِرْت Illa dhukirta ma'i wa rafa'na laka dhikrak. We raised your dhikr, we raised your mention to such an extent that my name will not be taken except that your name will be taken with my name. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, when he makes tafsir of wa rafa'na laka dhikrak, he says, illa dhukirta ma'i fil adhan والإقامة والتشهد ويوم الجمعة على المنابر ويوم الفطر ويوم الأضحى وأيام التشريق ويوم عرفة وعند الجمار وبين الصفا والمروة وفي خطبة النكاح وفي مشارق الأرض ومغاربها. That the name of Allah will never be separated from the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, not in azan, not in iqamat, not in tashahud in salah, not on the day of Jummah on the mimbers throughout the entire world, not on the day of Eid, of Eid al-Fitr, or the day of Eid al-Adha, or the Iyam al-Tashriq, or the day of Arafah, or at the Jamara, or between Safa and Marwa, or in the khutbah of Nikah, or in the East and the West, in the entire globe, the name of Allah till Qiyamah will never be separated from the name of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hassan bin Thabit radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, on this verse of the Quran, he recites the ashar and the poem. He says, أغر عليه للنبوة خاتم من الله مشهود يلوح ويشهد وضم الإله اسم النبي إلى اسمه إذا قال في الخمس المؤذن أشهد وشق له من اسمه ليجله فذو العرش محمود وهذا محمد. He says, the seal of prophethood bore a living and a shining testimony to his nubuwwat from Allah, and Allah joined his name, Allah joined the name of his Nabi with his name, so that the muazzin 5 times every day, whenever you will say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, with that, joined to that, he will say, Ashhadu anna Muhammad al-Rasulullah. Allah broke from his name a portion for his Nabi in order to honor him. Fadhul arshi mahmudu wa hadha muhammadu. So that the owner of the arsh is Mahmud Allah, and this is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Every aspect of his life preserved. Genghis Khan, the greatest conqueror in the annals of human history, it is not even known when he was born, when he died, where he is buried also. An orphan born in a desert, an orphan who is predeceased by his father. Only his mother is alive at the time of his birth. 6 years later, she also passes away. Born in abject poverty, yet every aspect of his life preserved. His akhlaq, his character, his conduct, his appearance, the manner he walked, the manner he spoke, the manner he... Every aspect. There's no time to go into the details. But ask our youngsters, what do we have time for? Some of us, our hair has gone white. 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years have passed. Yet in that Muslim home, their lives are so far away from the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that not on one occasion did that father sit with his children or with his wife and say, let us learn how my Nabi used to eat. Let us learn how my Nabi used to sleep. Let us learn what the conduct of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. Who are our youth idolizing today? Individuals whose every day is in sharab and every night is in zina. Those who are destroying the moral fiber of society. The pop stars and the music stars and the actors and actresses whose lives are a living textbook of moral degeneration. If that fool cuts his pants, then thousands of youngsters will make a hole in their pants. If that fool cuts his hair in a strange style so that some sections of it are lower than others, then like flocks, like sheep, hundreds of thousands will follow behind that. Yet, what was the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What was his conduct? What was his akhlaq? What was his character? فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah says, and let us not be like those ostriches with our heads in the ground. The clock is running. Time is running out. That necklace has already been opened up. The pearls from it are falling. Earthquakes, tornadoes, tsunamis. Muslims' homes being bulldozed. Rivers flowing with the blood of this ummah. This ummah being trampled at the feet of its enemies. The time is running out. Closer and closer is coming that period where now it is becoming even more apparent that if you are ashik of that Nabi, then make known your ishq. If you are followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then don't be in that jamaat who tomorrow Allah will raise up amongst the kadhibin, amongst the liars. Whose example were we given? And the warning was given, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةً أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Allah declares the recipe and the prescription for the humiliation of this ummah is turn away from the way of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let your homes become devoid of sunnah. Let your way of life become devoid of sunnah. And Allah says, I will turn the tide of this world against you. Unfortunately, my respected brothers, we don't even know what is the sunnah. We don't even know what is his way of life. What we do know is how to sing a few nazams, how to sing a few naats, how to attend one or two seerah jalsas, how to give verbal lip service to our ishq and muhabbat for him. But from head to toe, his name may be Ghulam Muhammad, his name may be Ghulam Nabi, but from head to toe, he is a living embodiment of the enmity of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Attend that Muslim wedding. Go to that Muslim function. Walk into that Muslim business. Walk into that Muslim home. That years have passed. Years have passed, and every day those masoom children are waking up to the curses of Allah's farishtas. Because till the sun rises, no one in that home wakes up. In the evening in that home, instead of the sound of tilawat of Quran, what sound do we hear? Such a Nabi we were given. Just one or two incidents I had intended mentioning, we're already running out of time. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma says, Kana ajwadan nas bil khair. My Nabi was the most generous of people. He describes ajwada min ar-rihil mursala, more generous than a blowing wind. On one occasion, someone brought 30,000 dirhams. It was placed on a straw mat in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He started distributing, keeping nothing for himself. Inna Allah istakhlasa hadha ad-din li nafsihi wa la yasluhu bi hadha ad-din illa as-sakha wa husn al-khuluq ala fazayyinu dinakum bihima. Janab Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Islam Allah has chosen for himself, and it does not behove one who links himself to Islam, who links himself to the ishq of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who declares that he believes in Allah and follows the way of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it does not behove him except that he contains within himself as-sakha wa husnul khuluq, generosity and good akhlaq and character. Ala fazayyinu deenakum bihima. He said, listen, beautify your deen with generosity and good character. What is generosity? What is akhlaq? 30,000 dirhams, everything is distributed till nothing remains. Then one person comes and he says, O Nabi of Allah, give me something. Ma indi shay, walakin ibta alay, fa idha ja'ana shay'un qadaynahu. Janab Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam looks at him. 30,000 dirhams had already been distributed. He says, there is nothing left, but never mind, go in the bazaar, buy whatever you like, and tell that person that the debt is on Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I will pay it back. Umar, when he hears this, he gets upset. Ma kallafaka Allah ma la taqdir alayh. That, oh my Nabi, Allah has not ordered you, Allah has not commanded you with that which you do not have the ability to do. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam becomes very upset. One Ansari, when he sees the signs of anger on the face of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says to him, Ya Rasulullah, anfiq wala takhsha min dhil arshi iqlala. O Nabi of Allah, spend, be generous and do not fear shortage from the owner of the arsh. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam hears this, fatabassama an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he starts smiling. Hatta urifa al-bishru fi wajhihi, the signs of his happiness could be seen on his face, and he said, bihadha umirtu, this is what Allah has ordered me with. Ask ourselves, my respected brothers, if we exhibited even an iota of this generosity and this compassion and this kindness, then is it even possible, never mind what the media is saying, is it possible that the hearts of the millions around us will be filled with hatred for us? Unfortunately, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's way of life, his akhlaq, his generosity, that we have kept to bayans, and that we have kept for the masjid, and that we have kept for the kitabs. But when it comes with those domestic servants in our homes, and when it comes with our conduct, with those who are of a lesser social status in life than us, or those who are more unfortunate than us, they are not so well off as us financially, then the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the back, and then we can sway his mother, and sway his father, and sway his family, because he was unfortunate enough to be working for us. And that domestic servant can be paid a pittance. And then we want to tell them about how beautiful Islam is. Give all the bayans you want. Write all the literature you want. Understand, my respected brothers, humanity was drawn like flocks towards Islam when Sahaba brought alive the akhlaq and character of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People would just look at them, see that compassion, see that kindness. One Bedouin comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He grabs hold of his cloak and he pulls it to such an extent that a welt mark is left on the neck of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then Sahaba would never address him by his name. Yet this person says, a Bedouin is a villager. A poor person with no culture, no education, no background is addressing the greatest of Allah's creation. And how does he address him? Ya Muhammad, ihmilli ala ba'irayya hadain min malillahi alladhi indaka fa innaka la tahmilu li min malika wala min mali abika. He says, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, load up my two camels. Load up my two camels with the wealth which Allah has kept with you. And understand, by loading these two camels of mine, you are doing me no favors, because that is Allah's wealth. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hearing this, he pauses and he says, Al-malu malullah wa ana abduhu wa yuqadu minka ya a'rabi ma fa'alta bi. He says, the wealth is Allah's wealth, and I am only the slave of Allah. But the harsh manner in which you treated me, retribution will be exacted from you, O Bedouin. This Bedouin says, La, you will never take any revenge. No. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Lima, why? Because then he replies and he says, فَإِنَّكَ لَا تُكَافِيُ السَّيَّا بِسَّيَّا. Because when somebody treats you harshly, you do not treat them harshly back. That was that akhlaq and character. To such an extent that Raisul Munafiqeen, the head of the Munafiqeen, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, avowed enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah had already revealed that he is a Munafiq and he will die on Nifaq. Such was the extent of his hatred for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that his son, who had accepted Islam and he was a true believer, on one occasion Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is drinking water. The son of Abdullah bin Ubay says to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that, O Nabi of Allah, leave a little water in the container. I want to give your leftover to my father to drink, because I hope that through the barakat and the blessings of this water, Allah will purify the heart of my father. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gladly accepts this and he gives the water to Abdullah bin Ubay's son. His name was also Abdullah. He goes to his father and he presents the water. I am translating directly what transpired in the books of hadith. Na'uzu billah thumma na'uzu billah. This head of the munafiqeen says to his son, what is this that you have brought? He says, Oh my father, I have brought the blessed water, that container which the lips of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has touched. His father says, "A'uzu bi al-iyazu billah." He says, if you brought the urine of your mother, I would have valued it more than this water. His son is so hurt, he goes back to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he says, O Nabi of Allah, this is how my father has reacted. I have already taken out my sword. Give me permission, I will behead him. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, no. Bal tarfuq wa tuhsin ilay. Go back to him now and treat him kindly, because I have already forgiven him. That same Abdullah bin Ubay, when he dies, Quran had already revealed, istaghfir lahum, o la tastaghfir lahum. Whether you ask for forgiveness for him or you don't ask, if you ask 70 times also, Allah says, I will never forgive him. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to the grave of Abdullah bin Ubay. He is already in the ground. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, take his body out. Take his body out. After taking out his body, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes punk on him from his head right up till his feet. He takes out his own chadar, covers the body of Abdullah bin Ubay with his own chadar. Thereafter he makes janaza namaz upon Abdullah bin Ubay. Umar cannot take this. He says, O Nabi of Allah, what are you doing? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah gave me a choice. Ask maghfirat for him or don't ask maghfirat for him. I have chosen to ask maghfirat for him. And wallah, if I knew that by asking maghfirat, by making janaza namaz more than 70 times upon him, Allah would have forgiven him. I would have made janaza namaz more than 70 times upon him. That compassion, that kindness, that akhlaq, that character, that generosity, my respected brothers, he was rahmatul lil alameen, a rahmat to the people of America, Australia, Europe, Asia, Africa, to every human being to come right up till Qiyamah. The legacy of that rahmat had to be preserved and brought alive in the lives of his ummah. Our day had to become the day of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our night had to become his night. Understand, my respected brothers, when our gaze shifted from his gaze and went to the pockets of people and to the race and creed and color of people and to the language of people, and our hearts became devoid of the concern and the cry of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the tides of this world have turned against this ummah. There is only one solution. This ummah has to come back to Allah, has to come back to the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Time and again, my respected brothers, we are hearing this call. Go out in the path of Allah. Wallah, I am sitting on the minbar of the masjid. We are not saying go out for 40 days or for 4 months or link yourself to the masjid because we want you to become members of some organization or become members of the Tabligh Jamaat. We are saying go out in the path of Allah so that we learn the ghulami and the slavery of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We learn what his day was, what his night was. And we bring that into our lives and the lives of our families. May Allah Ta'ala give each and every one of us tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wana
Syntech CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.